for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from Zix and Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. For tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from Zix and Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, December the 27th, 2008. Dale Copeland is the speaker of the morning, teaching on Everything That Happened to Jesus Happened to Us.
I want to share with you today, I was up till way in the night last night, getting together some things on the three worlds and the end of the world and things of this nature. And lo and behold, after all that study last night, several hours, I didn't know I was going to be teaching till, you know, last night, I think it was. And so the Lord changed it this morning, so He's God. He's God. So we want to start in Romans chapter 5. I want to title this, Everything That Happened to Jesus Happened to Us. Now, I'm not here to do anything but bless you. If I make you study, there's so few people spend any time in the Word anyway. If I say something that'll cause you to desire to get in the Word, well, I've done you good. Even if you disagree with me, you know, I've done you good if you get in the Word. But I, you know, it's all right to disagree, but let's don't be disagreeable. You know, everything that I have ever learned, I didn't agree with to start with, probably. Everything, every move that I've ever made, I had to leave something to get to that. You know, I had to put something down and pick something up. And our walk with God is a journey. It's not just for the destination, but let's enjoy the trip. You know, it's terrible to just hate the space in between, isn't it? And hate the drive and just want to get somewhere. Let's enjoy the trip with the Lord. Let's enjoy growing. I'd hate for a child when it's born to hate its life until it's 20 years old. Hate growing up. You know, let it enjoy where you're at with God and understand that in every stage of growth or every area of life, God understands what age you are. And He's not trying to kill you or destroy you. He's trying to help you to grow. If you don't know something, or if you're having problems with something, He's trying to deliver you and not oppress you. He's trying to help you to go to the next level, not beat you up because you're not there. You know, that's the difference. I mean, so often we get beat up. People use the Word of God as a hammer, and they beat us up because we're not at a certain place instead of helping us get to that certain place. And you know, we sang the song, I'm going to lift up holy hands. And the thought came to me, I wonder how many people believe they're really holy. How many people really believe they're holy? How many believe that you're the righteousness of God? Really believe you're holy? When you say, I'm going to lift up holy hands, do you stop and think and wonder, well, let's see, what have I done anything that's not holy? So now I'm not lifting up holy hands. Listen, it's not your actions that's make you holy. It's not your actions that's made you holy. It's Jesus that's made you holy. You can have the best actions in the world. You can do everything just right and be unholy without Jesus. See, that's a self-righteous spirit. And I found out something. You know, I might have shared this before. One time we had a brother come and he the Lord used him mightily in healing ministry. And I needed some teaching in that area. And I still do. I mean, I don't know near all of it. I mean, I've still got some situations. So I need some teaching in that area of how to receive. But anyway, this man, common 400 or 500 miracles a month. From people with on their deathbeds and blind, deaf and everything else. He just laugh and carry on. And he said, it's a blast seeing Jesus heal people, you know. And but anyway, well, he came and began to teach, and I don't know why I was going to tell you that now. All right, we'll just go back to where I was at, because apparently the Lord wanted me to get off that rabbit trail. Everything that happened to Jesus happened to us. It's important that we know this. It may come back to me here in a minute, but if it don't, that's all right too. Got to go before that one. Run the tape back. If I was at home, I'd just have them run it back. Listen, if you don't identify with Jesus, who are you going to identify with? Okay. Now I know what I was going to say. This man came, and they carried people in, and they danced out. Miracle after miracle after miracle. And there were so many miracles, I called my mother and dad and my brother-in-law and sister, different ones. They lived 180 miles away, and I said, well, the Lord's just moving in an awesome way. And it wasn't a revival. It's just normal life for him. And, they thought they might ought to come and get some healing too. But not only them, some other people come. And they were of the mindset that, now don't nobody get mad at me, because I don't know how to say it except to say it. They were of the mindset that you dress to get holy, that you wear your holiness, or you act, you know, the things they done is what made them righteous, made them holy. And let me tell you something. Everybody in the church that come up, the house was full, and everybody that come up got healed, except those that had that mindset. Not a one of them got anything. Because they thought they deserved it. They didn't get it. They thought they'd earned it by how they lived. And it was a stink in the nostrils of God. Now, I didn't say it's a stink to do what's right. That ain't what I said. I didn't say it's a stink to dress modest and holy and things like that. That ain't what I said. But if you think that is what your holiness is, you're deceived. And you don't get healed because you've been good. You get healed because Jesus is good. I want to tell you something. Jesus healed a whole bunch of scoundrels. He healed all that come to Him. Multitudes. And you know there were some pretty rough people that probably showed up. And He healed them all. He didn't say, well, you deserve to be healed. No, uh-uh. He didn't do that. He healed 10 lepers, if you'll remember. And only 9 of them, or only one of them, come back and said, thank you. Do you think that the Father didn't know that the other 9 was going to be ungrateful? And He healed them anyway. That's how good God is. And I dare say that's probably ministry's problem as a whole. I shouldn't lump ministry in like that. It's not right, not fair. There are times that if we're always giving out, we think that maybe the Lord ought to give us something back. That maybe we ought to get a little closer up toward the front line. And that's not what buys anything. It's the blood of Jesus that buys it all. And I'll tell you something, if you get anything from God, or the worst sinner gets anything from God, I've said it a lot of times, the people that you might despise or that you might not like and things like that, if anybody gets anything from God, you'll be kneeling at the cross and you'll look over there at the same cross is the one that you didn't think ought to get anything. If they get anything from God, they're going to have to get it that way. And here's the thing. If you have to bow your knee, let others bow theirs. Give them a place. Give them a place to bow. We get healed because Jesus is good. We get healed because He bore our sickness and our pain. I don't get healed because I think I'm losing my covering. Get up here, Brother Ben. How about that? We don't get healed because of our good deeds. I want to say that. But now, most of us don't think like a new creation person. We think like the religious system had wanted us to think. And whether you know it or not, there's a whole lot more been ingrained in you. The roots of religion has wrapped itself around our mentality a lot more than we think. So often, we see ourselves as fallen man trying to get to heaven. Fallen man trying to get better. This is not an improvement class or an improvement journey in that way. This is a new creation journey. This is a walk by faith in what Jesus has done, not what you're going to do. I'm telling you something, when Jesus hung on the cross and said, "It's finished," He meant it. You can't add nothing to it. Not one line, not one sentence, not another period. It's done. There's nothing left to be done to bring about everything that the cross was about. There's not a certain timeline that has to be crossed. Everything that happened to Jesus happened to us. Man was appointed to die because of sin, right? Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. What did God say to Adam? He said, the day you eat, you will surely die. That's when the appointment came, and when man sinned, he fell. But how many of you know that Jesus met an appointment? You see, everybody knows the first part of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. I'm telling you something. Everything that happened to Jesus happened to us. He did all of this in our place, in our stead. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself, but if you've got a bill to pay, and Jesus pays it, and you just insist you've got to pay it, well then go ahead and pay it. But you don't have to. Why don't you have faith in His operation, of what He done? You see? It says, sin entered the world by one man, and death by sin, so death passed on all men, for that all have sinned. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, if you want to turn there, verse 28. It would be nice. You probably don't have a Bible program on that computer there, do you? It had us, I should have brought my router so we could just throw the scriptures up there. But it says, and as it is appointed to men once to die, how many of you knows that scripture well? Well, people will tell you quick, boy, we've got an appointment with death. Well, let's look what it says. After this, the judgment. You've got to understand the judgment and the end time, and I don't have time to teach it today. You got to understand which end time and which judgment was going on and where it was appointed in men to die, because Jesus is getting ready to bring us into something new here. I mean, I'm talking about 2,000 years ago. The next verse says, as it is appointed to men once to die, so Christ was offered. Who was He offered for? He wasn't dying for Him. He was dying to meet an appointment. He was offered to bear the sins of many. What's this saying? Sin entered the world by one man, and death by sin. So Christ was offered to bear the sins. If He bore the sins, the wages of sin is death. Now why do we get angry and upset and throw up walls of defense and things for good news? If you want to die, go ahead and die. But Jesus didn't say, I've come to let you die. He healed everybody that come to Him, trying to keep them alive. I say it like this. Every time a saint of God dies, God is robbed of demonstrating who He is in this realm. I know I'm saying things that just like throw spokes in people's mental wheels sometimes, but just study this. And unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin, or not dealing with sin, unto salvation. Now, isn't it interesting that the book of Hebrews says, we don't see all things, but we see Jesus. But you know what? Most people don't see Jesus. Why do you see? How can you see Jesus? Well, you ought to be able to see Him. You see it with Him. Sitting here with our scales still over our eyes because of the lies and doctrines of men, the traditions of men that has made vain the power of God. We just need our eyes open. The prophet, remember the prophet and his servant? He said, Father, open the servant's eyes. And all of a sudden, hey, that's in under the old covenant. But here we are, a new covenant, a new creation, born of the Spirit, and can't see nothing. And it don't bother anybody because tradition has, as I said, it's like opium almost. Has just got us. Maybe not opium. What's that narcotic they give you when you're in the hospital if you're hurting? Morphine. It's like morphine. It just, nobody's concerned. Hebrews chapter 2 says, we see, verse 9, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He by the grace of God should do what? Taste death for every man. Oh, that's spiritual death. Well, Jesus didn't die just spiritually, folks. I'm telling you something. He felt it. He carried every disease that people would die from. He carried every sin. He died naturally on the cross. He tasted death for us. It was for us. See, people don't... You know what we got a problem with? We got a problem. We changed the message because we believe more of what we see than what the Word says. We've got to be led by the Spirit. He said, the words that I speak are spirit. We got to be led by the words that He speaks. I'm telling you something, you reach into what you can't see, but you see with a natural eye, you reach into the spirit realm, you get a hold of it till you bring it to where you can see it. That's why Jesus, I've said a lot of times, that's why Jesus fed 5,000. It wasn't no miracle to Jesus. He just reached into another supply, into another realm, another dimension. It wasn't no miracle to Him for Lazarus to be raised from the dead. It's only a miracle to people who are not walking in the Spirit. It should be normal to have the power of the Spirit if we're walking in the Spirit. It's Listen, death is abnormal. Sickness is abnormal. It's not the norm for the Christian. This stroke that happened to me is abnormal. It's not my destiny. Sickness doesn't belong to us. It's not our heritage. There's no death in Christ. Look, if you're going to identify, like I said, if you're going to identify with anything, let's identify with Jesus. He tasted death for every man. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood," look what happened. "He also himself likewise took part of the same." Why? "That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death." Why? So we could just keep dying and go to heaven? What was it? What did it say? It said, "Sin come to the world by one man, and death by sin." Here's the thing. Anytime man gets separated from the life of God, they're going to malfunction. We're a species of people that's only made to live in the presence of God. Can I say something? Mortality is abnormal. It come because of sin. How many of you know that? Jesus redeemed us. This Bible said, "If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, it's going to make alive, quicken your mortal body." That's not after it's dead and in the cemetery, folks. Because it ain't a mortal body when it's dead. It's a dead body. Mortal means that which is dying. He wouldn't have used the word "quicken your mortal body" if it was already dead, if it meant resurrection, as the church world would teach us resurrection. It said that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil. Now that word "destroy" means render powerless. Means give you power over. But how many of you know you have power over Satan? But if you don't use it, he'll run over you, won't he? You know, if you don't take what Jesus gives us, if I don't take what Jesus gives me, death will have its effect on me. I've told the church where I pastor a lot of times, I said, if I fall dead here, right here in the pulpit, it don't change the truth of God. It just means that I didn't take advantage of it. You know, we have a choice of walking in the Spirit or not. That's our choice. Look here. I said, everything that happened to Jesus happened to us. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I'll make the statement first. We were crucified with Him. Now, if He died, tasted death for us, it's been put on our account. I'm going to show us here. It says, "I am crucified with Christ." Well, Christ didn't get symbolically crucified. I don't care what the church in Canada says. There's a church in Canada that preaches that Jesus only symbolically died. He really didn't. And there's a whole denomination that's going that direction now. I can't help what they do, but I can help what I believe. There's not going to be any power in this, listen, if we don't believe the Word of God. That's what sets us free. But he said, "I am crucified with Christ." Now, Paul wasn't naturally crucified, physically crucified, but Jesus was. But Jesus did it for Paul. He did it for you. You can put your own name on it. So you can say, I can say personally, "I am crucified with Christ." But do I believe it? If I believe I'm crucified with Christ, then I've already made an appointment. Otherwise, I don't believe I'm crucified. What does crucified mean? What was the result of being crucified? He said, it's death, isn't it? Because he said, "Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And I could preach hours on that right there. By the faith, not my faith, by the faith. I live by the faith that Christ had. Amen. Oh, praise God. Romans chapter 6 and 6 says, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him." How many times have you heard ministry say, "The problem is my old man"? You know what? You can't even be saved if he's not crucified. Think about that. Man. How can something be risen if they ain't been dead? How can you have a new life and got rid of an old one? I had a chart of what traditional religion teaches and what the Word of God teaches, but I didn't bring it. I didn't know I was going to be teaching on this. But It shows what most people teaches is that the old man's man is a great big, he's like a giant right now, and the new man is a little bitty baby. And as we progress, the new man's growing and the old man is dying. But that ain't what the Scriptures teach. That's contrary to the Word of God. But that's what we've been taught. Most of us have bought into it. I'm telling you, preachers, they say a whole lot of things that they don't back up by Scripture. They tell a lot of stories. They fill in a lot of things that they ain't backing up by the Word of God. We better listen. Each one of you is responsible for your own salvation. You're responsible to study. That's not just the preacher's job. You're buying a ticket to a merry-go-round if you're just letting the preacher study for you. You're just going to come back around where you was to start with. You're not going nowhere. You're going to have to know God for yourself. You know, I tell a church every day, I said, don't you dare believe what I'm telling you. You go home and prove it for yourself. You know it for yourself. You learn it for yourself. You be able to give it back to somebody else, and then it's yours. It's yours then. Don't you dare. I can be wrong. Man, I appreciate it when one of the elders comes and says, brother, I don't understand this right here. He don't come and say, you preach that wrong. You know, you approach anybody with the right heart, right spirit. There's right protocol to approach anybody. He said, I don't understand what you said here because the Scripture over here said, you know, I said, you know, I didn't think about that Scripture. I'll have to look at that. Oh, and by the way, I want to correct something that I said the other day when I was teaching on Cosmos and Aeon in Hebrews chapter 1. It's Aeon, not Cosmos. In Hebrews chapter 11, it's Aeon, I think it is. He framed the Aeons, the ages. And I want to correct that. And I thank the brother, remember, seeing here. He's here, I think, right there. For sharing that with me. I appreciate that. Because my desire is to only be true. My desire is to tell it like it is. And I didn't have my notes. I was just... I didn't have my notes on none of that. So of which one was which, I was... But in my memory, I thought it was. All right, let's go on here. Now, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, don't you ever wonder, have you ever given any thought of why the church is having so much trouble with sin? Why in the world, if we were crucified for the reason of not having a problem with sin, then why is the church having to deal with sin? Because they've been taught that the new birth, that they've been taught that they haven't got out of sin. You know, they've not been taught the power of what it is to be risen with Christ. It's been watered down so much that you just barely got anything. You got a ticket. I mean, I heard a guy on television the other day saying that. He said, when you got saved, you got a ticket to heaven and you got all you need. What a lie. You do the body of Christ a great disservice to teach people such things as that. That's kind of like saying, I said the other day, when my new granddaughter, when she got born, say, that's all you need. You come out of the womb, you don't need nothing else. She'll die if she don't get it. The body of Christ will die if they don't get some more things. But you need to understand who you are. You need to understand that you've been crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. I'm telling you something. We've been taught that we still got our old man alive. And you know what happens? When you taught that and you believe that, he acts like it. And you got a sin problem. If you believed you was holy, you wouldn't act unholy. Now that's a whole lot. I said a lot more than you know it than you're getting. If you believed you were holy, you wouldn't act unholy. I could give you a pretty gross demonstration. If you had a white suit on, if you're white, and you're walking up here on a high place, and there's at a dairy, there's lots of cow manure. Let's say there's cow manure about a foot and a half deep out here on both sides. You know you're all dressed and you have an appointment with whoever in your mind is the greatest. You're on this way. You're on your way to this appointment. And somebody says, "Hey, come over here." And you look and you say, "Are you crazy? I can't meet this appointment. If I go there, I'll get manure all over me." You know what? That's what temptation would be like if you believed you was holy. There is no way you could be tempted and want to get out in that. You've got an appointment. You want to make. And if you cross that, you're going to get it all over you. And now you've got to try to go to this appointment. They, all of a sudden, the temptation's over. Because you know you're dressed clean. You know you have an appointment. That's reality, see? But our salvation has not become reality to us. It's not become reality that we've been crucified and risen with Him. It's a religion. Nobody wants to burn, so everybody wants to enjoy a utopia, so that's a good incentive to get people to follow God. All right? Because we was crucified with Him, let me tell you, we should not serve sin. That was the purpose of His crucifixion. Because we was crucified with Him, we met the appointment of death, and we also died with Him, and what's more, we was buried with Him. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says, "Therefore, we are buried with Him." How about that? That's what you do to somebody that dies, isn't it? You bury them. We're buried with Him by baptism into death. I'm telling you something. Everything that happened to Jesus, God put your name on it. He put it to your account. But if you don't value it, it won't have any effect on you. As you measure it, it'll be measured back to you. Let me put it with me. As I measure it, it'll be measured back to me. Let's go on here. "We're buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we should also walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted or buried together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection." In other words, if one of it's happened, the other has to happen. "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin." I tell you, I don't remember who it was, said this is the only thing that I've seen that's come back to, you know, that's dead. People's resurrected the old man. They won't let him die. Religion don't want him to die. Satan don't want you to believe what I'm preaching, because if you believe it, you'll walk in the power of it. If you don't believe it, you'll always be struggling with the old man and everything that happens to him, and you won't walk in liberty. Let's hear. Look here. "Now if we be with Christ, we believe we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once." Who did He do this for? That's right. Each one of you needs to say, "Me." You know, we need to believe this. Listen, we're not playing games. God wasn't playing games when He put Jesus on the cross. He didn't have in mind all this religious jargon that's going on. God didn't have in mind if people forever struggling with sin. He had in mind setting people free. Religions put more people in bondage than any other thing. The doctrines of men, actually it's the doctrines of devils. It's given Satan an entrance into our lives where there's all kinds of demonic problems in the church because of the doctrines of devils. It's opened the door. You can't pick and choose what devil comes in when the door gets open. He brings some friends, don't he? Now, you got to see this. In that he died in the sin once. Well, we just keep doing it, don't we? Over and over and over and over. But in that he liveth unto God. Now, you got to get the next verse. Now, death hath no more dominion over him. Verse 11 says, likewise. That means just like him, reckon. How many of you knows what the word reckon means? It means you put it on the count as gospel. It is absolute truth. Reckon means it's an accounting word, actually. It's when you do your bank book and you write the bottom line. When you total it all, there it is. That's the reckoning. When you've considered everything, when you've added it all up, reckon yourself. When you've looked it all over, you looked at sickness, you looked at disease, you looked at this, you looked at that, reckon you also yourself to be dead. In other words, count yourself. No, you are a dead duck. That old man died. Because if you don't, you're going to fight with him from now on. Reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Why? Because Romans 6:14 says, sin shall not have dominion over you. If sin don't have dominion over you, death can't have dominion over you. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. If sin don't have dominion, death don't have dominion. Why? What did Jesus say? I come to give you life. I come to give you life. What happened to Adam? If I could draw a chart, I mean, I'll just draw one in your mind. Adam walked with God right here. In this level, he walked with God. But when he sinned, he fell. He didn't fall out of the tree. He fell out of right relationship with God. He fell into death. And you know what? Jesus come over here 4,000 years later, and he met us right here in death. And he, listen, we've been risen with him. Back in fellowship with God. Back in fellowship with God. Why? I mean, that's the purpose of the cross. The purpose of the cross is to get you to heaven so you can shout around the throne a million years. The purpose of the cross is to redeem us from the fall. I can't say that enough because that's just the truth. You know, that's the truth. It's to redeem us from the fall. It's to bring back what was lost. And I want to tell you something. If Adam didn't lose heaven and the church world says that's where you're going and that's what salvation's for, then they're wrong. Because Jesus came to restore what was lost. That was, you try pawning something at a pawn shop and go back and get, Jesus paid for it. He got it out of pawn. But you try to get more than what you pawned. You ain't going to get more than what you pawned. Jesus didn't buy more than what was lost. That's not what redemption means. Verse 22. But now being made free from sin. What is this? Just a bunch of verses? Doesn't, you know, it's troubling me, Brother Glenn, that the reality of these things just goes over us all the time. And we just keep struggling. Keep struggling. Where in the world, 2,000 years later, we can't get our feet planted in truth? So the truth of what it's saying here can be real in us, a reality? I know we're on our way back. I know that we're, as I said, I feel like I'm got cobwebs of religion all over me a lot of times, and I'm constantly pulling them away and striving to hear the Lord, and there's so many other voices of religion that in our songs, you turn the television on, in the books and everything else, everywhere you see the strands of religion that keeps us bound. He whom the Son is set free is free indeed. But if we're not experiencing that, let's understand it, let's acknowledge it, and let's get free. See, I'm not interested in singing the blues about where we're at. I want us to move from where we're at. I want divine health. I don't want to even need healing. I want divine health. I want you that need healing to be restored and never need it again. Just have it to give. Peter said, such as I have, I give you. My God, I've said so many times, the church is supposed to be the hospital. We're supposed to be the doctors, spiritually speaking. But here we are, most of us are the patients. We've got to believe God. This is not an option. As I said, I think the first time I spoke, to hear a rhema from God, to sup with Him, is not an option. The church ain't going to be built without it. You're not going to live unless you get a rhema from God. It's not an option. Listen, we've rocked along and just let the preacher preach and come to church on, Sunday and Wednesday night and teach us and go home and watch our... We'll spend hours a week watching TV. And, it's terrible if we have to study 30 minutes. Come on. We rock along and let somebody else get a rhema for us. And I'm going to tell you something. God is holding every one of you responsible to suck with Him. To hear a word from God for yourself. And I'm not talking about a revelation, some big something. I'm talking about relationship. If you can get a relationship with Him, I'm going to tell you something. Then you can get a revelation. My grandchildren, as I've learned so much as I've watched them grow, they don't even know their father's voice when they're babies. They do get where they know their mother's voice pretty quick. But as a whole, they don't even know the father's voice. And that's what happens. You know, the New Jerusalem, the church is the mother of us all. And we end up knowing our mother's voice better than we know our father's voice to start with. But then they come to a stage where they hear the Father's voice, but they don't know what He's saying. They don't understand the language. Think about that a minute. They don't understand the language. Have you ever heard God speak, but you really didn't know what He meant? I have. Many times. I've heard God speak, and I wasn't even sure it was God to start with, but He would say things. And I think, God, that don't fit. That don't make any sense. But as things unfolded, it made a lot of sense. Pretty soon, a child grows till they can have a relationship with their father. It's sad that the church 2,000 years old, and all we can do, the child grows where it can talk back even. But you know how it gets where it understands the language? By hearing it talk to Him. Hearing it talk to Him. But if you don't get and suck with the Father and get in relationship with God so He can be talking to you, you're never going to learn His language and you're never going to learn the language to talk to Him. It's so important. I mean, I'm amazed. I'm amazed that we are depending. I'm reading Scripture so you know I believe completely, 100%. I'm telling you, I believe in this written word. But I want to tell you something. If this is all that you know, you don't know much. Now, don't get mad at me. This is spiritually discerned. If you don't have the Spirit talking to you, telling you what this says, you don't know much. There's a Spirit that's in us that's supposed to quicken us and talk to us and tell us what this says. Why do you think there's 100,000 different beliefs? Because they don't hear a rhema from God. I mean, they got the same Bible and they hate one another. Don't like one another. Alright, look here. Romans 6:22, being made free from sin and become servants of God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. That's the consequence of it, the end result. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is there now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. That's just verses we read. The reality is so far from where the rubber meets the road in our life. And I'm including myself in this. I need help too. I've done acknowledge. I say this was an eye-opener for me and an humbling experience. I ask the church forgiveness for not walking in a place that such a thing could happen to me. And it's my fault. And you say, well, it's not because was it because you sinned? Yeah, it's because I sinned. It's because I was overweight. I ate what I wanted instead of eating what I should have. I lived to eat instead of eat to live. I did. And I just did what I wanted, and I scoffed it when somebody said, oh, you shouldn't eat so much salt and all that. I was doing it by faith. But you know what? By faith I won't get fat and I get that other ice cream. I'm going to tell you something. I violated God's principles and I paid the consequences. I apologize for being so hard-headed, so stubborn, that just, that's kind of like just saying, well, I'm going to walk off this roof. I don't care if it's 20 foot up. I'm just going to trust God. Yeah, you're going to fall and break your neck too. Trust God, me, I. You're a fool. You're lost your mind asking God to just... now, if you fell off, you can expect God to protect you. But for you to willingly... Jesus is smarter than that, wasn't he? He wouldn't throw himself off the pinnacle. He said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Every time you and I eat what we know we shouldn't, we're tempting the Lord our God. No, we're so holy. Yeah. Like I said, if you want to put orange juice in your car because you like orange juice, go ahead. But I'll pass you going down the road here in a little while. It'll start sputtering and die. It's not designed to function that way. And when you violate the design, you're going to malfunction. At least do your part. And let's believe God for His part then. God's always faithful. He said, if you'll do this and this and this, I'll do this. But the problem is, we do half of this, and we expect Him to do full of that. Look here. We know He met the appointment for us. It's appointed a man to die. He met it. I've done read. If you write any scriptures down, go back and read them again. 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. All right, now, I said we was buried with Him. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. It says, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are, that's the next common thing that would happen, isn't it? Risen with Him through faith. And here's the problem. We don't have any confidence in the faith of Christ. We don't have any confidence in what it accomplished for us. Because religion has robbed us. It has spoiled us. It has plundered us. I remember well, you're going to have trouble in the flesh. And I did. Why, if they had told me I was risen with Christ, I had the power of God in me, that I didn't have to serve sin. What if they had told me that? What if they had filled me with that? What if they'd fill me with, "You're holy, you're the righteousness of God"? My God, if I'd have been birthed and taught that. It's like a child when it comes up, you teach it, you can do anything you want to. You're able to. God's given you great gifts. He's given you. You're blessed of the Lord, instead of telling them, "You're going to be a failure. Your daddy was a failure. Your grandpa was this. You ain't never going to succeed." What kind of the difference of these children? What of the trouble they're going to have? My God, instead of preaching the Word of God, we just preach what we see and bend the Word of God to make it fit. Now, I shouldn't. I mean, that's a harsh. I don't mean to be hard. But it says, you're buried with Him, you're risen with Him through faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together. You mean when Jesus come out of the tomb, I was quickened with Him. Quickened together. I didn't write this. It's not my idea. I don't have the privilege to change it and have doom and gloom and struggle and all that. The Word of God is the Word of God. Let's leave it be. Let's let it be what it is. There's power in it with it, what it is. There's just sorrow and heartache and bad spirits if we start trying to make it fit what we want it to be. I tell you what, I've wrote books that I've had to tear up the whole books. When the Lord gave me a revelation, I just have to tear them up. I pulled tapes out of our library at the church of messages. I say, tear them up, throw them away. It's not true. Just as well, when you know God spoke, go with it. A lot of times pride won't let people admit this or that, I've had preachers tell me, "Well, if I preach that, I'd have to tell the church everything I ever preach is wrong just about." They just couldn't do it. I've had preachers say, "Well, I'd lose my whole church." I know well known. You'd all know him quickly. Evangelist that the kingdom of God was brought to him. He said, "I believe that, but if I preach it, I lose all my support. Can't preach it." Yeah, men love the praises of men more than the praises of God, don't they? We're quickened together with Him. Together. What does together mean? Together. Why are you seated with Him? Because you was quickened with Him. You see? Wherefore, Colossians 2:20, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Now that's a whole other. I'd love to take 3 or 4 services on that. We won't do that. Can't do that. Because you're going to deal with... Because that word rudiments is the same word as elements that'll melt with a fervent heat. And that's the rudiments of the world. You got to know which world it's talking about. And really what it's talking about, it's talking about the things that was going on in the temple how the sacrifices was done and the washing of the pots and the pans and all of the rituals and things of the temple. And Jesus was dead to that. By the way, you got to understand, He was born under the law. I said He was born under the law, but He died. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new. Oh, I tell you, I see something that it just I got tingles about every time I take a step because of this left side. But every time I think of the new creation, the new species, I get tingles on both sides. Because I know what God showed me about this new creation. We're built to occupy both heaven and earth. 2 dimensions, spiritual and natural. We're built to walk in both of them. We're seated with Him in heavenly places, and we ought not be blind to where we're seated. It ought to be as normal to see into the other dimension right now as it is to where we're at right here. There ought not be any hindering because, listen, He's made them both one, all things in heaven and all things in earth. He made one in Christ. And guess what? Christ is in you. All things in the natural and all things in the spiritual. He said, Thy kingdom come! It's a spiritual kingdom, folks. It's in you. Thy will be done in the natural realm as it is in the spiritual realm. We're a new species. A new creation. There's, oh my God, it thrills me. A fish is made to live in water. It can't live outside of water. That's what it's designed for. A worm's made to live in the dirt. That's what it's designed for. The angels is made to live in the spirit realm. That's what they're designed for. But we're a new creation, a new species. We're designed to live in the natural and the spiritual. My God, my God. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:14. This, I believe this is God's Word translation. It says, clearly Christ's love guides us. We are convinced of the fact, this is an important verse for you, that one man has died for all people. Therefore, all people have died. King James says, therefore, all were dead. Or all died, maybe it says. Somebody else can read it. You have it? 2 Corinthians 5:14. I'm not half done. We're done. Yeah. Most translations said, then all died. We're all dead. If one died for all, then all's dead. But you know what? You're not risen with Him until you accept Him, His death. You gotta have a trip to the cross. You gotta be crucified before you can get risen. So you gotta die with Him. So, 2 Timothy 2:11 says, it's a faithful saying, if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. Colossians 3:3-4 says, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Notice the word here, it says, with, you are dead, and your life is hid with. When I'm with you, brother, I'm with you. If I'm somewhere else, I'm not with you. With has a meaning. Everybody's got a big God somewhere. But we need a big God here. You are dead. I'll never forget when the Lord spoke this. I was sitting in my office reading probably 20 years ago. And the Lord said, read it again. I was just reading down. The Lord said, read it again. I backed up and read it again. He said, read it again. I backed up and read it. He said, read it again. I said, I've read it. I know I can quote it to you, Lord. And I read it again and I got it. Because, see, I had went from East Coast to the West Coast preaching, you got to learn how to die. I had a good message. It was a good one. I had lots of scriptures. I had some stories to tell to go along with it. Good message, you got to learn how to die. And there it was. You are dead. I just more than I could take almost. I felt all the humiliation of all every place I'd ever preached that message of how foolish I must have sounded to the angels and to the Lord and everything. I thought, oh my God. And I thought, all these places I've got to make it right. And you know, it's a serious thing to be a minister. Somebody might listen to you. It is. It's scary to me because I've realized now, hey, they might listen to you. They might direct their life by what you say. And you better be careful. And you know, God already knows. He knows what condition the field's in when He bought it. You know, He knows we're going to mess up. He knows that we're growing. and grace and knowledge, you know, and truth and things. He knows that when you get born again, you don't know everything. That's right. He knows that, but He also knows the condition of our heart. When He shows us something, will we do an about face? Will we repent? You know, I could have said, I can't afford to believe that. And I'm hung out to dry here, you know. I got all this, all these places just take this message. You know, the truth is we just got a lot of messes out there. And it's going to take the grace of God to help us to get past some of the things that we believe. Some of us has preached the rapture of the church in times past. That's what we knew. But we did it. Now we know better, but you can't change what you preach, and you can't change the people you convinced. You know, that's, like I say, and you ask God for mercy. You just humble yourself. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Now that word appear is an interesting thing. It's not talking about Jesus appearing in a cloud. When Christ, who is our life, is made manifest. You know how Christ is made manifest? When I'm walking in divine health. When I speak to whatever it is and it happens. When I'm doing the works that He did and greater. Christ is being made manifest. Christ is in me. The hope of glory. You know what the word hope means, by the way, don't you? It means expectation in the Greek. It should have been translated expectation. Well, where's the glory to be revealed? Glory's not over yonder in some, across the moon somewhere. Glory, the Scripture said, the sufferings of this present time, Romans chapter 8, shall not be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. The glory is to be revealed in us. Christ in you is the expectation of that glory being revealed. So when somebody says, I'm sick, what's your expectation of Christ in you? I'm walking away from that. I'm sorry. When somebody asks for prayer, what's the expectation of Christ in you? Do you have a little bitty God or do you have a big God? I want to lift our expectations. He's the same. Listen, the same big God that you sing about is in you. It's in me. He's all of a sudden, He's not limited to our circumstances. That's why I tell you, I refuse to continue to walk on a foot that feels like it's 2 inches thick. I refuse to accept that. That is not my lot. I can't find it in the Word of God, so that's not my opinion. If I want to know what my opinion is, I need to check the Word of God with what it says and get my opinion from it. I'm not going to get it from the doctor. I'm not against doctors. There's people that need them. I've got to quit. I didn't get half of what it is to be risen, because Ephesians says He's raised us up and made us sit with Him in heaven. It's with Him. There's that with Him again. I was crucified with Him. I was buried with Him. Let me just go back here to the first, and I've got it all together on there. I was crucified with Him. I was buried with Him. I was raised with Him. I was justified with Him. I didn't get that one. I was justified with Him. I was glorified with Him. And I'm seated with Him. Everything that happened to Christ happened to me, because He didn't do it for Himself. He did it for me. And if we will raise our sights, we'll live a different life. We'll live a different life. I trust in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You. I thank You for Your Word. Lord, let not a one go home the same way that they come. Let us raise our sights, Lord. Oh God. Be merciful to us, O Lord. Let your grace abound in our life. Your influence divine abound in our heart. Lord, let the words find good soil. Good soil. Let no one think that they're in a hopeless place. Let not a one think they're in a hopeless place. In Jesus' name. Lord, we bless this food that we're about to partake of. We bless you, Lord, for your provision. Lord, we thank you for help and we thank you for life. Lord, as we've spoke today, I trust that the Spirit of life would take hold in people's bodies. Lord, that they would be healed. Lord, that they'd just be able to receive what belongs to them because of what Jesus has done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.